Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two Douchebags and a Microphone.
We talk. Jesus.
This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Ground ivy is a persistent ground cover that often escapes death by lawnmowers due to its low profile. It spreads by setting out roots from its nodes and can colonize an area quickly. Ground ivy is in the mint family, so it has square stems which help identify it. Although it's a mint, it's probably not something you would chew on for that refreshing tingly taste that other mints impart. Use young shoots and leaves in salads or cooked, but be sure to taste before adding too much since it has a strong flavor that may not go over well in a large quantity.
Beanbags are basically on the sofas.
Hello, everybody. This is Two Douchebags and Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Me and my foreman kicked some butt this afternoon.
Good, that's good to hear.
We had a truckload of steel pull up, and at like 2:15, and by he wasn't ready to unload till like 3:25, 3:30.
And you get off work at 4:30, right?
At 4. Well, what we did was he jumped on one forklift,
uh-huh.
A little 5,000-pound forklift.
Yeah.
I got on our big 8,000-pound forklift. He was unloading for 20 minutes. I was unloading for 15 minutes.
Wow.
24 bundles of steel, dude.
24 bundles unloaded of steel in that amount of time?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I ate my 8,000-pound when I was picking up two at a time.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, we flat booked it, dude.
It sounds like it.
That's how we work together, man.
That's good, man. You got to do that. Fact that your foreman will come out there and get his knuckles dirty like you speaks volumes.
Oh, dude, no. Foreman at our place. Oh, it's ungodly what they gotta do.
The foremans at my old place or the lead men or whatever were fucking worthless. I work for this stupid motherfucker that could not get anything right on the orders, that dumb son of a bitch. He's one of the stupidest people I'd ever met in my fucking life. And they have him shipping out orders. And anyhow, every fucking day I had to listen to that stupid son of a bitch say something stupid. And I just wanted to smack the stupid off his face. You know? So anyhow, go ahead. I'm sorry. I kind of went off there.
No. I'm just still kind of amazed we got it done that quick.
Oh, yeah. Then the lead man before him in the old position that I worked at when I was in the shop, he was equally as stupid, but he was aggressive stupid, like he's always wanting to fight. And anyhow, but glad I'm out of that bullshit. So anyhow, Rob, did you know that there's a push for Pluto to be a planet again? Remember in like 2016 or something, they made it not a planet anymore? You remember that big hubbub?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, there's a bunch of scientists that want it to be a planet again. I don't know why. Don't have an answer what caused this. So, here we go. Pluto officially lost its planethood in 2006. Wow, it was longer than I thought. So, let's pass.
Yeah. I was thinking 16.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking it wasn't that long ago, but I guess it was. Fast forward 2024, the Pluto push is on. That's what they're calling it. They're calling it the Pluto push. The requirement that had Pluto downgraded, Pluto misses out on the ability to clear its orbital path of debris. It would take a lot more mass, the planet capable of pushing the rocks out of its orbit. So that's the main reason they deplanetized it, if you will. Scientists are discussing a way to drag Pluto into another orbit, and I'm not joking you. I mean, this shit is ridiculous. Who gives a damn whether Pluto is a planet or not? They're trying to figure out ways to push it into another orbit so that it can be a planet again? Who cares? I mean, I hope they're not spending tax money on this, because if they are, those guys should be, they should be thrown in jail, because it's criminal.
That's where my problem is right there, taxpayer money.
I'll bet you it's taxpayer money. Now, if you want to do it on your own, and you and some other scientists come up with some device, do a GoFundMe, and you get, $1 billion to do this or whatever, because everybody, like, has a soft heart for Pluto, that's one thing. But using tax money for stupid shit like that when there's people starving in America, people that can't pay the rent, is atrocious, and those people need to be thrown in prison, in my opinion. So while we're talking about that, now that scientists have some idea about how to build railroads on the moon, because they unleashed a plan how to build railroads on the moon. The moon focus...
Railroads on the moon.
Yes. What they're trying to do is they're focusing in on turning the parts of the moon into a potential lunar railroad. The U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency envisions a future in which a network of rails covers the lunar surface, transporting humans, resources, and supplies from one area to another. This is an attempt to create a thriving economy on the moon. This involves 13 other companies such as Jeff Bezos, Jeff Bezos Blue Origin, and Elon Musk SpaceX. I mean, how in the world can they take people up there and put them on a railroad when you have to sign a disclaimer just for fucking bumper cars, right?
First off, you got to get them there.
Yeah, and that probably would take a 50-page disclaimer. Let alone when you're on the moon and anything that you do on the moon. I mean,
what year are they talking about starting this up? All the constructed?
They're talking about doing this immediately because they got Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk behind this project. You know, so now the moon can be a playground for the ultra rich, Rob. So hey, let's go pollute and fucking screw up the moon, guys. We did it. We did enough. You know, billionaire club is welcome. All it is they want it to be a playground for the ultra rich to go do shit like this, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's atrocious. And I don't agree with it one bit,
Leave the fucking moon alone. You already destroyed our planet. Don't go somewhere else and destroy something else. Why don't you work on fixing ours first before you go screwing up something else?
I've always had a problem with our space program, and that exact reason. We can't take care of this place. Why we won't go up there?
All that tax dollars was under the this is going to help us. This is going to help us. This is going to help us learn more about the planet. This is going to help us. No, I think the whole thing was a ruse to see if they could monetize the moon. And that's what's going on. They're trying to monetize the moon, and I think it's criminal. I don't like it. Leave it alone. You already fucked up our planet good enough. Don't be going somewhere else and doing that. So, anyhow.
Ass paddling.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Hang on, Rob. This is what we need to start doing. Is start doing some ass paddlings, taking note. Hang on. All right. I got a little notebook here for asshole paddlings. And that will be railroad on moon and everyone involved, right?
Right.
Okay, and we can even mention some names. Everyone involved. I tell you who else is getting ass paddling? Rushy Rice.
Yeah, I was not going to be the one to bring that up.
Oh, I was going to say it last time, but we got distracted. Last night. I was going to say it last night, but we got distracted. But anyhow, we need to quit giving away our people we're going to ass paddle, because it's not going to be a secret until we get to it. So, anyhow. what made me think of him is he came out with a statement today, or maybe it was yesterday, and he said that he is cooperating with the authorities, even though he was missing for 3-4 days. And so I guess his lawyer came out and said that, and then
he lawyered up.
Yeah, but so did some people that were hurt in it. A lady, from what I read, had a huge laceration from the forehead down to her eyebrow. These people were driving a white Mercedes, so they have money, and they lawyered up, and they want something done about it. They're pissed off as hell that he left them maybe for dead, and they're not letting it go, and they're going to try to take it to the biggest court they can to try to, from the way I read it, prosecute criminally and liability-wise. So Rashi Rice, this is just the tip of the iceberg on what he's going to be doing. And you know what? Someone doing something that fucking stupid, I can't agree with the people that were injured more. If that was me or someone I love, I would want the motherfucker in jail. Wouldn't you?
Right.
So I get it. Look, he's a great football player, and I don't think we should get rid of him because our enemy's going to pick him up and use him against us. So,
Rookie year, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to work somewhere, so we might as well have him work here. But he does have to go through the system, and he has to take responsibility for what he did, and he's going to have to face whatever punishment that comes his way. So, anyhow, that I just wanted to speak about that because there seemed to be some sort of an issue. The lawyer came out with that statement, but then the authorities said something like they still haven't seen him. He still hasn't come forward. So he did something like he got a hold of his lawyer and said, "You issue a statement, and I'm going to stay hid." So, I mean, I don't know what the benefit of staying hid is right now. You know what I mean? I mean, if he was drinking and driving, they're not going to find out now. I mean, it's too far down the road. So, I don't get what the benefit is.
You're a world champion football player. They're going to find you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. They're going to find him. And then they had video of him and video of the other guys.
Yeah.
And then the rental company confirmed that Rashi Rice did rent that car. And they also stated, they said that he was the only one that was able to, you know, that was under their agreement. He was the only guy that could drive that car. So they're assuming it was him.
Yeah, they're assuming that it was him, but that don't mean nothing. You and I know that.
Yeah, you know what? He could...
But still, if it was not him driving that car, he would have stepped up immediately.
Exactly. And then now
he's
playing little reindeer games, trying to be like staying away. And then I guess he's going to come out a little bit later. I mean, maybe he hasn't come up with a good enough excuse, or maybe he's lawyering up with some really good lawyers and he's laying low. And then he's going to come out with one statement at once and then come out and be visible and get arraigned and all that. So I don't know, but I know he did a very boneheaded thing, and I don't think of him quite the same now. You know?
No.
Anyone that will leave someone for dead like that, I don't know. Not a good person, in my opinion, at the very least. Probably about a lot of other things. So, anyhow, Rob, you got something you want to go into?
Yeah, I do.
Alrighty.
It's kind of time sensitive.
Oh, hang on real quick. Hi, Grandma Opal. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy.
Hope you guys are doing well. Dodge City, rah, rah. We love you guys. All right. Go ahead, Rob.
You would do well to take heed to new warnings just issued by the Missouri Highway Patrol about the upcoming historic total solar eclipse that will cross the state on April 8, 2024. Some are things you might not have thought, but should. The Missouri Highway Patrol issued a new bulletin just days ago advising residents to prepare and also avoid big mistakes during the total solar eclipse. They note that the eclipse path of totality will cover more than 115 miles from Poplar Bluff area all the way through Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, the totality is like right over them. They're getting 100%. So I imagine it's crazy down there right now, people lining up to get in their hotels ahead of time. I hope it's cloudy.
Here are the 10 things they warn you should and shouldn't do on eclipse day.
Okay.
Do not plan on pulling over on any roadways or any states when the eclipse reaches totality.
I can see that.
Make sure you know where you plan to view the eclipse safely, and make sure you get there early.
I bet.
To all those procrastinators.
You know, it's only 100% in that area. I don't think it's 100%
right.
Anywhere else.
Do not try to take pictures of the eclipse when you are driving.
Only in America.
Right there.
Only in America.
Moving on with it.
Yeah. Moving right along.
If you do have to drive when the eclipse reaches totality, turn your headlights on manually and don't rely on them to turn on automatically.
Yeah.
Know that your travel before, during, and after the eclipse will be slower than usual and allow for delays and very extended travel times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay extra attention to pedestrians, especially on less traveled roads.
Well, you know, there's going to be idiots everywhere, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it's like driving in the dark, man. Come on.
Yeah, there's going to be zombies all over the fucking place looking at this thing and not watching you on the road.
Yeah, it'd be like driving Halloween night.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. That's a great analysis, actually.
Here we go. Number 7. If you can avoid traveling during the eclipse totality, please do so.
Okay, I will. I'm going to be at work.
Oh, I like this next one, too.
Okay.
Do not wear your eclipse glasses while driving, whether it's in a vehicle, on the road, or on a boat.
That is what
I like that one.
I love that one, too.
Have your vehicle checked and make sure it's road ready before you travel for the eclipse.
Yep.
Bring emergency food, snacks, supplies with you in your vehicle in the event of an emergency.
Okay.
And that was that.
Wow.
There's a couple there I like. There's a couple there I like.
Most of them were obvious, but there's a couple of them that, like, really kind of took a pretty good snap, a picture snap of what it's going to be like that day in any populous area that it's going to be 100%. So you can depend, you can bet on everyone being down there in that small area, all the hotels booked, and everybody outside with their glasses not watching people. And I like the way they stated that, like, hey, you know, like you said, it's going to be like Halloween night. Look, if you're driving while this thing's going on, don't try to see it. Make sure your eyes are on the road. And I love the way it's stated, don't wear your glasses while you're driving. Because you know there's some idiots that think they have to wear it no matter what, otherwise they'll go blind or whatever. So,
Even in a boat.
Yeah. Speaking of boats, I told you I watched that Harley race thing, Dark Side of the Ring. Last night, it was really, really good. They were talking to, like, his best friend, this wrestling historian. I didn't know this, but did you know that Harley Race had a first wife when he was younger? And she was carrying his baby. They were both killed in a car wreck. It was snowing, and I guess it was really slick. And a truck that was coming the other way skidded towards them or something like that. One vehicle skidded towards the other, is head on. She died right there. And he was never going to walk again. And they were going to amputate his leg. And one of the wrestlers, you'll have to watch the whole thing, but the land that his dad was harvesting was owned by a couple of wrestling promoters. And anyhow, they came in there and said, do not. This guy's going to walk again. I guarantee you he's going to walk again. They didn't amputate because the people said, don't amputate. And then he did walk again. And he became one hell of a wrestler. They had Ric Flair on there talking about him. It was very good. They had excerpts of Hulk Hogan. And it was off of the Bubba the Love Sponge show because, you know, they used to be best friends. And they took an excerpt out of that. It was very well done. And there's a lot of stuff that I did not know about Harley Race that was really interesting. So when you get a chance, it's probably going to be a couple weeks before it hits YouTube. Usually they have to film it a certain amount of time. They have to show it for a certain amount of time on the network that bought it. And then it'll go to YouTube and get the stragglings, you know, the people who don't have a Vice channel or whatever. So, anyhow, when you get a chance, Rob, look that up. It was very good. Dark Side of the Ring, and it's on Vice Channel, and all you gotta do is just type it in, and then when you get there, type in Harley Race. So, that was pretty cool, like I thought it would be. So, anyhow, let's go ahead and take our first break, and then when we come back, we have this new feature that we're pretty proud of. It's stars and famous people that pick and eat their earwax. Rob has his list, I have mine. So we'll be right back here in a minute, ready to give these said lists out.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Hey, you're sure? Produce a sound similar to a fart, but only once, such that you cannot reproduce it and prove that it was just the chair.
All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Heard Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under 6 or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has 3 distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renews It cartridge.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone. Want a pizza with no skin off your back? How about John Wayne Casey's pizza?
Dad, this guy taking our order gives me the creeps. He's such a weirdo.
My breakfast pizza has some odd-looking sausage.
Hey! There's a thumb in my pizza!
Get a free body bag with any large combo.
Hello, this is Satan. You might know me from my pet name, Inflation. I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to relax than listen to Two Douchebags and Microphone by a nice warm fire at night. I sit there and I reflect on all the souls I burned that day. Enjoy.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So let me see. Let's say I was offended by people being offended. Then would people being offended all the time would have to not be offended around me because I was offended by them being offended? I may never know.
Two douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes and... Hey! Who took a dump in the cooler?
And we are back. Two douchebags and microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
All right. Well, like we said previous, before the break, we have this new segment we're pretty damn proud of, and it's simply called People, Famous People That Pick Their Earwax and Then They Eat It. So, Rob, without any further ado, you have your top five?
Yes, I do.
All right, Rob, go forth and let us know. And if you want to give us a description why, that's fine. Or if you just say they look like an earwax eater, that's fine too. Because I understand.
Okay, first up, John Lovitz.
Oh! He does look like an earwax eater, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He acts like one, too.
Yes, he does. Man, dude, that was a great one right off the bat. You could just see him doing that, going...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant, Rob. I love it.
Next up, Bruiser Brody.
God rest his soul, but yeah, I bet he is.
Yes.
I bet he was an earwax eater, and he probably is in the great beyond, don't you think?
He very well could be.
In the afterlife, he probably didn't scratch that habit. It's probably too ingrained in him. So let's say he's up in heaven right now. He's probably picking his earwax and eating it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, we're not dogging you, Bruiser Brody. When we get up there, we don't want to slug in the mouth.
No.
No, we think it's awesome.
I don't need you kicking my ass in my sleep, dude. I'm giving you praise, brother.
I am too, because the last thing I want to do when I make it through the pearly gates is get my face kicked in by a wrestler. A big wrestler. With air. Good one. I think he definitely looks like an earwax eater.
This next one, it took a little bit of thought.
Okay.
But I'm going with John Lithgow.
Ooh! I could see that.
After he played Prince Farquaad in Shrek, and he watched threat, pull his earwax out and use it for candles. I think he tried it, but I think he just thought it was like the characters bit into it.
I love that, dude.
But I think it carried over to real life.
I could very well see that, Rob. I could very well see that. I think that sometimes life imitates art. And that's what you got right there.
Yeah.
You got John Lithgow picking his earwax, allegedly, and eating it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a good one.
Next. Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. I'm surprised I missed her, Rob. Man, you're not
Here's
kidding.
Why. She has a macadamia nut and livestock farm in Hawaii. What else is she going
to
do?
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's nothing else to do except watch the nuts grow. So, she's picking her ears every damn day and eating that wax.
Yeah.
She has nothing else to do. Yeah, I think that is solid reasoning, Rob. Solid reasoning.
Okay, and for my final one, Vincent Price.
Oh, I love Vincent Price too, but just the shape of his face tells me he's very much a potential earwax eater. So, I think I would tend to agree with you. As much as I still love the guy, and this is a compliment to him, we think it's great that you eat your own earwax. We're lovingly talking about it, right?
Yes, yes. Well, I was just thinking of his movies, his characters, you know?
Yeah, he always played a creepy...
Yeah, I could see him doing it.
Yeah, I could too. I think Vincent Price, although I'd never thought about it ever before, I think that's a great choice. Once I think about it, I'm thinking, yeah, he does look like an earwax eater.
Yeah.
With love. We don't hate it. We don't hate it. We think he's awesome. So.
Yes.
Cool. All right.
Well, all right.
I got my little list here, and I have some has-beens on there. I think has-beens eat their earwax out of nervousness. Because nobody recognizes them like they used to. They're not making any money off of being in movies. And I think they're very nervous people that pick at their ears and eat their earwax. I think it's a habit for nervousness, right? So that's why I have so many of these has-beens. I think they're nervous people. And I think that because of that, they pick their earwax and they eat it. So my first one, Lorenzo Lamas.
All right.
He is an earwax eater. Think of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he screams earwax eating. With his weird acting to his look and everything, I'm betting anything, whenever he's alone, he attacks that ear canal and grabs that shit out of there and chews the piss out of it. Wouldn't you think?
I could see it. I very well could see that.
Yeah, yeah. And this next guy, I just think he looks like an earwax picker and eater. Larry Bird. The hick from French Lick. Him. I think he picks his ears and eats the wax.
Good one.
Yeah, he just looks like it, doesn't he?
Just because of where he's from.
Oh, yeah. From French Lick, Indiana. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, there ain't much to do around there.
Oh, no. Watch the wheat grow. Yeah.
Yeah, that it.
Watching the wheat grow gets very boring, so you have to have some sort of a hobby. And, you know, I mean, what kind of hobby can you have when there's nothing around? Picking your earwax and eating it. Sounds like a perfect hobby to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it to you?
Yeah.
Cool. My next one, another has-been, but I think she demands this. Being called out about her earwax picking and eating. Clarissa Flockhart.
Oh, damn.
She is an earwax eater from hell. Allie McBeal. You tell me she's a man.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. She eats the piss out of her earwax. Matter of fact, she might have gained a couple of pounds eating earwax alone. I mean, you know, she's a skinny little thing. Real skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she could use the wig.
Yeah, she could. That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking the earwax might actually beef her up a little bit and make her look a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My next one, and I think this is going to get you really good when you think about it. Another has-been, Tony Danza. That guy.
Oh, yes. I can see that, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I can see him.
Yeah.
Come in. Hey, yo, man. Yeah, what's up? And picking his fucking ears and fucking chewing on it.
Yeah.
What you guys doing here? Yeah, just hanging. Yeah, I could just see it. I mean, he reeks of earwax picking and eating. Every time I look at him, I'm like, uh-huh. I know what you're doing, buddy. I know exactly what you're doing. So, the next one.
That's why him and Judas White never hooked up.
that is why. Is because,
he's an earwax eater.
Yeah, every time she tried to kiss him, she smelled earwax on his breath and couldn't do it.
So she wanted to, she just couldn't get past it.
She just couldn't get past it, you know. So, I can't blame her. Earwax does not smell that becoming, so I get it. The next one and final one is Jimmy Kimmel. He's an earwax eater. To me, he reeks.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. In my opinion, he reeks of earwax eating and picking. And I think whenever nobody's around, he constantly does it. And I think he has to go to the doctors psychiatric help to where he doesn't do that as much, because I think he picks his ears to where they bleed.
Yep.
So, all right, both our lists. I think that went over pretty well. I think we both put a lot of thought into it. And I
know I did.
I did too. I mean,
I came up with most of mine while I was working.
I do that all the time too. I take a scratch pad with me to work, and whenever I come up with an idea, if I can't put it in my phone right away, I have my phone put away, I'll scratch it down on there. And one time I left it, I left it on top of there where I work at. Someone came up and like saw all these weird things, like. Hey, you know, like, I don't know, new fucking hard-on pill and, you know, body rubbers and all this stuff. And they're like, what the hell are you writing? I go, it's for my podcast. Settle down. It's ideas I come up with while I'm working. They're like, oh, okay. Anyhow, I take a scratch pad with me and I just scratch on it if I don't have my phone. What do you do? Just try to remember them, or do you?
I got a couple there at work. It's just that from the time it comes in my head to the time I get a chance to walk over and write it down, whether I can remember or not, you know.
And I've forgotten some doozies before. I'll get home and I'll go, damn it, I love that idea, but I can't think of what it was, and it drives me nuts because it was a fantastic idea, and then I can't remember it. I want to go into something a little bit weird. I mean, as if that's not normal around us. My phone, the last few weeks, has given me a weekly report on how many hours I was online and how many was when I was driving. I understand them wanting you to make aware of you're spending time online while you're driving. I'm wondering how much of is that streaming stuff like Two Douchebags and a Microphone. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
But I find it really invasive that my phone can just come back at the end of the week. It tells me on a Sunday. It's done it for 3 weeks in a row. Says this is how many hours you spent online, and this is how many while you were in the car. That's too much. The fact that that contraption knows that much and can send it back to me and tell me about it is insane. And the thing is I think it would have to be my carrier, Verizon, right? I don't know who else could have done that, because they keep track of your hours and all that stuff, right? So it has to be Verizon doing it. And anyone out there that listens to this podcast, if you have Verizon and that, or not, if you don't, and you've had this happen, let me know about it. And when did it happen? And if it tells you, it tells you the same information it tells me. I would love to know that, because I'm pretty sure this happens to other people. I'm not the only one it's done this to, right? So, anyhow, Rob, go ahead. The floor is yours.
All right. I told you about this story last night when we got out of Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And that's a little lengthy. Not too bad.
Go ahead.
An appeals court judge in Oklahoma reportedly told state execution schedulers to suck it up and man up after they requested a 90-day period between executions in an effort to combat trauma, accommodate staff shortages, and reduce the potential for errors. The state plans to execute 25 prisoners whose appeals are exhausted in less than 3 years. About 58% of the inmates on death row in Oklahoma. At a hearing last Tuesday, Judge Gary Lumpkin responded to a request to slow down Oklahoma's execution style. The state had requested the gap between executions to be increased from 60 to 90 days to reduce strain on Department of Correction staff. In a letter to the court filed in January, Steve Hart, executive director of the department, said the existing schedule was too onerous and not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oklahoma's Attorney General, Ginter Drummond, cited concerns of another botched execution if the state didn't slow down. Last year, Drummond appealed for clemency on behalf of Richard Glossop, who has already come within hours of being put to death three times since he was convicted of a 1997 murder.
Three times? He was hours away from execution?
Yeah.
Wow.
Judge Lumpkin, according to the nonprofit Oklahoma paper The Frontier, was unimpressed with arguments for spacing out the execution schedule, describing them as sympathy stuff. Quote, man up if you can't do the job. You step aside and let somebody do it that can, Lumpkin said at the hearing. He said a reasonable amount of time to start this out, and y'all keep pushing and pushing and pushing it.
Wow. I don't know where to go
with
that.
What's your feelings on this?
Okay. All right, all these people obviously deserve to be put to death, right? I mean, under the way, some people don't believe in that. They don't believe in corporal punishment. I'm one that does. I think it's fine if someone did that heinous of a crime, that they should have their life taken. You know, the person they killed had their life cut short. So, eye for an eye. It's even in the Bible. So, I think that they need to, like he said, suck it up and just do it. Because you want to know the definition of cruel? Going on death row hours away from being put to death three times in a row. That's cruel and excessive, don't you think?
Well.
But, look, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, really, honestly, just do it or don't act like you're going to, right? And all the resources that was wasted, all the time that was wasted, everything. What do you think?
Well, I I'm looking on the correction officer's point of view.
Go ahead. That's what I want to hear.
My brother was a corrections officer.
Okay.
Okay, you have to give your employees time to recuperate from this.
And you know, you're right. I never even thought about that.
Mental stress.
I've never even thought about that, Rob. You're right. It has to be.
That was their battle in court, and this judge said, no, suck it up. You're going to kill somebody every 60 days.
You know, I didn't think about it from that.
They just wanted 90 days. Just give us another.
I mean, like when they used
30
to.
30 days, you know.
You know what?
That's what they do to them mentally.
You changed my stance, Rob. You changed my stance. I think you're right. I think you and your brother are right.
I hadn't even talked to him about this.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you're correct. You know, as a matter of fact, it psychologically screws people up so bad. Whenever they used to do a firing squad, they had to have like 7 men. One of them had real bullets. The other ones did not. So, no one directly knew that they killed that man. You see? So, I can believe that.
Right.
If they have to do that when they used to have a firing squad, then you know damn well old Sparky or what, however, gas chamber injection probably, I think, is what they do now.
Yeah, I think it, in part of the story, they did the lethal injection.
Well, you know what? I'm just thinking about it a little bit further now, Rob. And you have to look that person in the eye while you're injecting them. Another person has to witness it. Another person has to be at the door. You know, all these people have to look this person in the face and know that they're putting them to death. Only difference is it's legal how they're doing it. It wasn't legal how the person did it, right?
And then 60 days later, be expected to do it again to somebody else.
Well, you're going
to
have people say.
And then 60 days after that, dude, that job don't pay enough.
Exactly. You're right, Rob. Man,
in my book.
Man, you know what? I was completely wrong. Now, you know what? I'm completely changing my stance. You're right. You're right.
I'm thinking the people of Oklahoma. It is an election year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to be looking at their judges.
I think you're right. You know, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, and I couldn't imagine looking someone in the face and going, well, yeah, you're going to die. I know you're a heinous person and you did this and this. You're going to die, and I'm the one that's going to make sure that you're dying, you know, that you're dead. And you have to look them in the face and do that. That would probably really scar you psychologically, even though you know the person probably deserved it and they did something so heinous, you know, and all that, that you're like, well, you know what, this guy, he obviously doesn't care about anyone else, so why should I care about him? Still, being as a human, right?
Right.
Looking someone in the face.
I'll go ahead and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I found that on The Guardian.
Oh, The Guardian is great. They have a lot of good articles.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That way, I mean, there's a little more to read about it.
So, yeah, you know what? Direct people there, that way they can get a little bit better clarification. But I think you described it well enough, Rob. I got exactly what you were saying out of what you were saying. So, all right, let's take us a break. And I have a list of words that are disappearing as of 2024. No one's using them anymore. And Webster is going to start taking these in the next couple of years. They're going to take these words out of the dictionary because they are de-wording the word.
So, I love stuff like this.
Yeah, I do too. So these are words that are getting de-worded, and they're not going to be classified as a word because people are not using them anymore. So we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you The Origin of...
The Origin of Socks. Believe it or not, the ancient Egyptians are responsible for knit socks. From around 300 to 500 AD,
were the first recorded knit socks wore by anybody in the world.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Howard Stern just signed a 10-year contract extension.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
If you were a spice, you would be flour.
When taking a shower, remember to scrub your asshole with soapy water, because nobody likes a stinky asshole.
You need protection from fucktards? You have people coming and fucking with you constantly? You need answers? You need solutions?
Smack in the nuts!
That's right! Smack in the nuts is what you need! Smack in the nuts, get rid of said losers in no time flat!
Smack in the nuts!
Available everywhere wherever you buy self-defense items.
Here are just a few testimonials from some satisfied customers.
Stupid fucksack come to me. He talk stupid. He no let me go. Smell like sack of shit. He spit talk all over. I remember smacking balls. I use shit sack. Shit sack lie on ground. I walk off. Thank you, smacking the balls. You saved me from smelly, smelly spit.
Well, I had this stupid son of a bitch come around me. He would not shut his fucking yapper for nothing. He gets up on me and he talks all stupid. And I didn't know what to do. I could not shake this motherfucker like a booger. Then I remember smacking the nuts. I pulled out old smacking the nuts, and that motherfucker went down like a sack of fucking potatoes. Thank you, smacking the nuts. You saved me once again from stupid motherfuckers.
Smacking the nuts. Don't leave home without it.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Man, I sure wish I was the garbage man. You know what I could do if I was the garbage man? I could go to the wrong parts of town on the wrong days periodically in the morning and then watch everybody run out of their house in their underwear with two bags of trash screaming, "Stop! Halt!" Yeah, that's what I'd love to do.
Oh shit, what's that over there?
Oh no.
It's this island of horrible jokes.
Ugh.
A wooden shoe in my toilet. I guess it was clogged.
And we are back. This is Two Douchebags and a Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
I have a couple things before I get to the real quick things. The disappearing words, the words that are being deworded according to Merriam, the dictionary. So, okay, first off, Blue Bell has a new flavor, gooey butter cookie. It is so popular, people are on a waiting list to get it from your local store when it shows up. The waiting time approximately is 3 months to get this. And I think it's coming out in a couple of weeks. People are that excited about gooey butter cookie, Blue Bell, that they're on a waiting list for it. Number two, I had my code cracked. Someone recognized my fake story because they work at Coca-Cola. And they know there's no fizzy... Yeah. Yeah, they work at the bottling plant in Lenexa. And they sent me an email and said, "Dude, I know for a fact that was a lie. I know that's a fake story." He goes, "I work for Coca-Cola here at the bottling plant, and nobody here heard of that at all." And then I guess he looked it up on the internet and everything, and he pretty much figured out that that was my fake story. So this means I can come up with another fake story. So, and I haven't come up with it yet. What I'm getting ready to tell you, these dewording... is true. It is not a fake story. And these are words that people don't use enough. So, Merriam-Webster.
Sorry to interrupt. No, that's fine. I'm guessing nobody's taught mine yet?
No. No.
am.
I know.
I figured that one would have been easy.
Well, the only reason mine got caught is because this guy worked at Coca-Cola.
Right, right.
If the guy at Coca-Cola didn't hear that podcast, I don't think it would have been caught. He just happened to listen to it. He lives in Lenexa, and he's emailed before. He's not Johnny in Overland Park.
You could deliver his pencil shavings in person.
That's funny. That's what I told him. I was like, give me your address. I'll bring you your pencil shavings. He wrote back, that's okay. So give them to another lucky listener. So he has a sense of humor.
I like him already.
I do too. Anyhow, he goes by L. And I think his real name is Larry because it's on the email. So anyhow, but he goes by L. That's it, just L.
All right.
So anyhow, this is a list of words that are disappearing in 2024. They're not out of the dictionary yet. Merriam-Webster just announced that they're de-wording them, and they are not going to be an official word anymore. So the number one, factitious, or fictitious, or however you want to call it. And the word, we've all heard factitious, right? Or fictitious, or fictitious, right?
Yeah.
Everyone pronounced it a little bit different. This word describes someone who doesn't like a situation or doesn't take a situation seriously, or to use sarcasm to mock and ridicule. So if you say someone's being fictitious, then I guess that's pretty much what it means according to the context of it, right? So, Merriam-Webster said that that word is not being used enough anymore, and they're quite simply, they're going to deword it, and it's not going to be in the dictionary anymore. Because every year they add words, right? They add new words that are like slang or whatever.
Right.
I didn't know they deworded stuff, too, until I found this article. So, number two, henceforth. It's pronounced henceforth.
Yeah.
H-E-N-C-E-F-O-R-T-H. I've heard it before, have you?
Yeah, I grew up hearing that.
Me too. And I always thought I knew what it meant, and I was pretty much right, and I think you're right too, because of the way it's always used. It's a fancy way of saying that their point is on target. Oh, no, wait a minute. Shit, that's the... I'm sorry. I went down a little bit. Henceforth, it's a fancy way of saying, from this point on. sorry. I need to find my glasses, because I just blended two sentences together and fucked it up completely. And remember when you said, you know, something about me keeping my glasses in here so I could always find them?
I was just getting right off.
Well, I took them out to read a book the other day, and I never brought them back.
Oh, my God.
And I screwed up a couple weeks ago. I need to bring them back. So, this one I've never heard before. It's morrow. M-O-R-R-O-W. It is a term used to describe an event's day, as in tomorrow. Like, tomorrow we attack the village. So, all they did was take out the "ta," and they just used morrow. To me...
Okay, I remember that back in English class in school, back in the 70s.
Yeah, to me, it's a worthless word, and here's why. It's not that hard to say "ta" in the front of morrow.
Right.
I don't understand why on all words that they could, like, shorten, they shorten tomorrow into morrow.
Right.
It doesn't really make sense to me because it's not that big a pain in the ass to say "tuh," you know? So, anyhow, that word is getting deworded. Have you ever heard this, Rob? I used to, but I haven't heard it in a long, long time, and I do believe they're correct on this. Crapulous. C-R-A-P-U-L-O-U-S. Crapulous.
It's been ages since I've heard that.
Me too. I remember as a little kid hearing that, and I didn't understand the definition of it. And this is completely different than I thought it was, thinking about it. It's showing the effects of alcohol. And in a sentence, it's I called an Uber because my crapulous was excessive. Did you think it meant okay. that? I didn't.
No.
Yeah, it just simply means that alcohol's affecting your judgment or vision or something, and you say crapulous to describe that alcohol is impeding you in some way.
So yeah, I didn't even think it had anything to do with alcohol.
I didn't either. I thought crapulous meant like a heap of shit.
I thought it was such a piece of crap that it was awesome.
Me and you, okay. You know? I always thought it was like a huge pile of shit, crapulous. But you thought it was a little bit different. You see, I mean, we're both wrong.
Yeah.
The next one that's getting deworded is kerfuffle. K-E-R-F-U-F-F-L-E. Now, I've heard that before. It's been a long time since I heard it, but kerfuffle. Do you know what
Very
that means?
Very long time, yeah.
Can you get an idea what that means? Because I pretty much did know what
I think it was one of my great aunts that... I didn't have a clue what she was talking about then.
Okay. Kerfuffle is a way of saying a disturbance or commotion caused by a dispute or conflict. And using a sentence, a kerfuffle ensued after a parking lot exchange between two men. So it's like saying there was like a, there was like a altercation or a, what else? Just trying to describe like there was some sort of a fight that went on. And instead of saying, yeah, man, they're kicking the shit out of each other, go, boy, it's quite a kerfuffle.
Yeah,
so that word is getting deworded. And then finally, obsequious. I've heard that before. I never understood what it meant, but obsequious is obedient or attentive to an excessive degree. So, I don't necessarily give a shit that that word's being deworded to you.
No.
Yeah. So, anyhow, there you go. This is a list of words that are going to be deworded here soon because Merriam-Webster says nobody uses them enough, so they're giving up on them. So, anyhow, Rob, you got something you want to go to?
Yeah, I do. I got one of your favorites.
American Songwriter?
Yes, I have.
All right.
Five classic songs by various artists featuring late Toto drummer Jeff Porcaro.
Ooh, I like this already. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm telling you, dude, I did not know how big he was until I read this.
Okay.
The late Toto drummer Jeff Porcaro. Yeah, Jeff Porcaro would celebrate his 70th birthday on April 1st, 2024. A co-founding member of the veteran rock band, Porcaro also was considered one of the finest session drummers in music business. Sadly, Porcaro was just 38 years when he died of a heart attack on August 5th, 1992.
Wow.
And it goes on, he was 17 when he got his first major music gig, playing drums in Sonny and Cher's touring band.
Oh, wow.
And it just goes on. Well, here's a list of just five of the many well-known tunes that feature Porcaro's drumming skills.
Cool.
They're by other people, not Toto. Although, come find out,
he got his
the
fame
other Toto members join in too.
He got his fame in Toto, is what you're saying, but he had so much of a part of everything else that people didn't realize it, right?
Yeah, his side stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He played on Bob Skaggs' Lowdown in 1976.
That's solid.
Picaro is featured throughout Skaggs' 1976 breakthrough album, Silk Degrees, as his future total bandmates, Potch and Hungate. Lowdown was the biggest hit from the record, peaking at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Okay.
That's a good song, man.
It is a good song. Yeah, that's solid.
This one totally shocked me.
Okay.
1979, Pink Floyd, Mother.
Wow. Had no idea.
Pink Floyd's drummer from the band's inception was Nick Mason, but during the making of the band's classic 1979 concept album, The Wall, Carl was brought in to play on the track Mother.
Wow.
Mason was having difficulty mastering the track's difficult time signatures, and since Pink Floyd was on a tight recording schedule, Picaro was hired to do the job.
Okay.
Didn't I know that?
I didn't either.
There's some on here that, yeah. This next one. Michael Jackson's Beat It, 1982.
Wow, now that's a credit.
Michael Jackson's 1982 album, Thriller, is one of the best-selling albums of all time.
And the drumming on that is solid. The drumming on that is solid, too. Anyhow, go ahead.
Picaro and his total bandmates, Posh, Lukather, and Steve Picaro, all play on several of the record tracks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Among the songs on which Picaro is featured is Beat It, one of Jackson's most enduring hits.
The
rocking tune, which famously features a guitar solo by Eddie Van Halen.
Yep.
Next. Another 1982. Don Henley, Dirty Laundry.
Oh, wow. Don Henley, Dirty Laundry. I don't know if people realize this, but Dirty Laundry was written about the media, how they exploited or covered him. I believe he was caught with underage girls and a bunch of cocaine in a hotel room. And he was very pissed off because the media took it everywhere and spread it around, you know. And I don't blame the media, because, I mean, if that did happen, in fact, that's wrong, and it needed to be reported. And he did a kind of, it was kind of like a hit piece song on the media making fun of them. You know, we can go ask the widow, is the head dead yet? All the boys in the newsroom have a running bet. You know, it's all this stuff that he says, and, you know, they talk about it, interesting when people die so they can exploit it and all this stuff. And it was written out of revenge. So, anyhow, but it's a great song. Who would have known? I said, who would have known that he had a part in all of those?
Yeah. After the Eagles' initial breakup in 1980, Don Henley launched a successful solo career. Starting with his debut album, I Can't Stand Still.
Great
the album.
The album
included the hit Dirty Laundry, which featured Picaro providing a rock steady beat to his total bandmates. Lukather and brother Steve Picaro also contributed to the tune.
Wow. If anyone's interested in that Dirty Laundry song, look up the lyrics. The lyrics are quite funny and quite true, in my opinion. you know, like I was saying, you know, the boys in the moon room got a running bet, and then he goes, get the widow on the set, we love dirty laundry. And
I still hear her on the radio.
It's still on the radio, you know, we can do the operation, is he dead yet, you know, all this stuff. He's like, what he's doing is he's pointing out the hypocrisy of media. And he was right on back then in 1980. I mean, he was dead on. So, and I know it was a revenge thing, according to what I've known and read. If I'm wrong, forgive me, but I read it in a lot of different places. And he was mad at the media for exploiting something that he had done, and he thought that they were excessive, I guess. So, I got another little story here before we hang up on this
one. I got one final.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen, Human Touch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In 1992, Bruce Springsteen released two albums simultaneously, Human Touch and Lucky Town. Piccolo played drums on all of the songs on Human Touch.
Wow. Okay.
I'll tell you, I did not know that he was into all that.
That's, wow. Okay. I had no idea either, Rob.
And this is just a list of five. I'm going to look into it and see what else.
I'm sure there's other stuff too, maybe not as well known, but I'll bet you he's involved in projects that brought young bands up too. He sounds like a go-to guy, you know what I mean? Like if someone's producing a band and they're not well known yet, they would go to him to do a signature drum sound maybe on a song. You see what I'm saying?
And it sounds like he's known for bringing his brother in, too.
That's cool.
And some of the other Toto guys, you know.
Well, they're obviously talented, so I get it.
Yeah, they are.
That's cool. Wow, that is a great article, Rob. Very good.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. American Songwriter might be my favorite. I think it is my favorite because they always come up with stuff that I had no idea about and didn't know I was interested in until you tell me. You know what I mean? So, okay.
Yeah, because not everybody was into Toto.
No, I liked them myself. I know a lot of people thought they were a puss band, they were too soft. I thought they were great.
I'd love to go see them.
Me too. I mean, they had a lot of really good songs. You know, some of the most famous, like Africa and stuff like that, but they had a little harder stuff before they came out with that album.
Hold the Line. Come
Hold
on,
the Line,
man.
Yeah, that's a great song. And it's heavier. It's much heavier. So I think what happened is they established themselves as a heavy band. Then they went more poppy and people were like, oh, fuck them. But actually, their main success was the poppy ones. Because, I mean, every hit radio station in America played Africa four or five times in a five-hour period. I mean, that's how hot that song was, is you could listen to any hit radio station in America and hear that song within an hour.
Okay, when I think of it like this, at that time, Toto was going head-to-head with groups like Duran Duran.
Yes.
And, you know, so, yeah, they had to step it up.
Yeah, I mean, they had some really fierce competition because those bands were good. They were really good. I mean, you were like battling the Police or Sting. You're battling Duran Duran.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, Wham, George Michael. I mean, you had all these artists out that were very good and established, so that's who they were fighting with to try to get chart space. So that's cool.
And they were an older band.
Yeah, that's right. They weren't spring chickens when they went poppy. But I'm like you. I liked all their stuff. I mean, I liked their heavier stuff, and I liked their lighter stuff. They're a great band in my opinion too, and very underrated.
Very underrated.
They're kind of like April Wine.
Well, this article right here proves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It shows their talent, for one, and number two, it shows the respect they've had from other bands. Big bands, like Michael Jackson, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
That's a lot of respect to have those people, that elk of bands and performers, come to you to make a song right.
Right.
So, wow. That's very cool, man. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
I wanted to get to this here really quick before this becomes outdated. I've been trying to do this, but we keep talking about other shit and get distracted because that's what we do, right?
All the time, especially last night.
Last night was awesome. last night was so cool, I broke it into two podcasts because it was so good all the way through. I'm like, man, I'm not wasting all this on one. I'm going to break it apart. I'm going to make people listen to some best of after the rest of this brilliance. So,
we were over an hour and a half last night.
Yeah.
We just could not stop.
It was great. I don't know what got into us, but man,
yeah.
We were full of energy.
I had a very good time last night.
I did too. We were laughing all the way through it. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody's going to enjoy last night.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was like a proud papa listening to it today, going places in the Jeep. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's us. Oh, yeah. Anyhow, I at least ought to get a free dinner from Anthony's, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I definitely believe so.
I think so. I think when you come up, we just go in there and go, we're two douchebags and a microphone. Yeah, we gave you a very good critique. Where's our lasagna? That should work.
Right, we'll wear our shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, to prove we are two douchebags and a microphone. That's right.
Yeah, we got to prove it.
Yeah.
We'll wear our shirts.
That's right. What could possibly go wrong with that, Rob? Okay.
We pay for our own.
We pay for our own. Okay, real quick here, and then we'll get off here, because Rob has to go to work in the morning, and I got to go scratch my ass or something. I don't know. So, as a part of downtown Detroit's makeover ahead of the NFL draft, city officials want to make sure that bird poop is not an issue for the hundreds of thousands of visiting the Motor City in late April. Yes, bird poop, along with everything else that comes with the pesky birds. To keep downtown clean, Bedrock Detroit hired Sci Air Force Falconry and Bird Abatement to scare away any starlings and pigeons with birds of prey that come after them. What they do is they train these falcons to go after the pain in the ass birds, you know, the ones that,
yeah,
like, you know, pigeon shit on everything, and it's very unbecoming. You got pigeon shit everywhere. You got it all over cars. You got it all over the I-beams underneath bridges. They squawk. They make very loud sounds. And what these falcons are trained to do is, and the guy that they had the article with, he said, these birds always come back because on their source of food. He said they don't forget that. So he has them trained to go after these birds, but not kill them or eat them, right? After he shoos these birds off and maybe peck at a couple to make sure that they leave, he comes back to the guy. And he has trained falcons. You know, you've seen that leather thing on people's forearms that they come.
Yeah,
that's what he
yeah.
has. Yeah, he has that leather deal, and the falcon comes back. And then he does a command, and that falcon, they showed it on TV, and I got this article off the internet, but they showed it on TV, and these falcons go right for the pigeons and the starlings and all those, and just goes right at them, and it scares the shit out of the birds. And if he does that five or six times in a row, the birds will disappear for a few weeks, and that's what they're trying to do, because the draft's coming up here in a few weeks, and they're keeping these birds busy. You know, running off the pain in the ass birds. So
yeah,
I thought that was really interesting that they do that.
That is a cool story. That
yeah.
really is. That
yeah.
That's good thinking.
It is. I mean, I love the thought, and they're not killing the birds either. So these groups can't really say anything about it. They can't say, well, you're killing these innocent birds. They can't help it that you have a draft there or something. No, they're not killing them. They're just running them off.
I could see after three or four times this big badass coming off of me. My ass is getting the fuck out of there. I ain't going back around there no more.
Me too. You see a falcon's wingspan is almost like a bald eagle's.
They're huge.
I was going down Lake of the Ozarks. Some old friends of mine had a place there, and I was going down there, and my GPS, this is back when we had the Garmin's up on the, you know, on the windshield, and it took me a weird way. It took me down this long, winding highway as a shortcut, and there was a bald eagle hatchery not very far from there. You know, they have a bunch of them over near Warsaw.
That's over at Shawnee Bend.
Okay, all right, I guess that's where
There is we actually have a bald eagle day down here.
Oh, wow, cool.
To where people, I mean, you can see the big nests up in the trees.
Yeah,
we've got... And people get together, take pictures, and celebrate, yeah.
Well, we've got them at the Blue River, too. They actually migrated up from Warsaw, and they live there now, too. There's several nests along the Blue River. Anyhow, the wingspan was so big it covered my whole car. I was like, well, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Everything just went dark. And then I look up there and I see that bald eagle with that huge wingspan flying off. I'm like, wow, these falcons are very similar to that size. Maybe not quite as big, but these are like, to them, it's like these fucking flying brontosauruses coming after them, right?
Yeah.
So these birds are like, after they get a couple of scares like that, they naturally don't come back for a while. So anyhow, they're going to be doing this falconry until people start arriving to Detroit for the draft, like, I don't know, a week ahead of time.
Yeah, it'd be like Bruiser Brody taking offense when I said about him eating his earwax. Coming after my little ass.
There he is. Is that douchebag that said that shit about me? St. Peter's like, yeah, come on, Bruce, come on. No, he's mine. Bruiser, come on, man, just let him go. he lets you go out of pity, though. He picks you up by your neck. This would be me, too, by the way. Picks you up and goes, I'm gonna destroy you. And then he's like, no, I'm not. I'm just going to let you go.
I heard he was a lovable guy.
That's what I heard, too.
I heard he was.
And he got stabbed to death. Was it Colombia or Brazil or something?
Brazil.
Yeah, he was in his dressing room, and it was mistaken identity, I believe.
Yeah.
The drug dealer thought he was somebody else, or somebody said it was him and it wasn't, or something like that. It was like mistaken identity. He got stabbed to death in his dressing room. Isn't that fucked up? And he was a great guy.
How the hell do you mistake a man that size anybody else?
That's what I say. I mean, I just don't get it. It's like the guy's in a dressing room in where there's going to be wrestling.
I'm thinking there was more that they just not let out.
And you're also talking about Colombia or Brazil where nobody really has to say anything to you.
Right.
Here we have all these laws that ensure that someone will have to say something. Otherwise, they'll go to jail for contempt, right? There, they don't have that. So no one has to say anything. They just be like, I don't know what happened, man. I didn't even see the guy. And there's nothing going to be done.
Yep. So,
and to my knowledge, they never did catch the guy who did it. They think they know who did it, but they can't prove it. So, yeah, that was too bad. Everybody said that they love working with the guy. He was a great guy. Matter of fact, they have a picture of Harley Race with Bruiser Brody and a couple other wrestlers. I think it might have been Ric Flair and maybe even Hulk Hogan. And they were all there. Oh, and another thing, one of the guys that narrates the Harley Race Dark Side of the Ring is your man, Cactus Jack, Mankind.
Mick Foley.
Yeah, and he looks completely different. Oh my God, he looks completely different.
He's old, man. He's old. He's crippled. Not almost crippled.
Shit, that guy is crippled, I bet, because...
I don't know how the hell he still walks.
I don't either. I remember seeing him...
Well, he walks like the Penguin, you know.
Yeah, he got thrown off the
side, you know.
Remember the cage match where the cage is like 30 foot tall? And he got thrown on a table on a bunch of tacks.
That was him and the Undertaker.
The Undertaker, yeah, that's right. And I was just so floored by that. I'm going, what the fuck? I know this is scripted, But how in the hell can that guy land on a table on a bunch of tacks, 30 foot up in the air, get back up and start fighting, bleeding everywhere, these tacks stuck in him everywhere, and not even flinch?
That was the introduction to the Attitude Era.
Yes, I agree with that.
People like John Cena, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold is a crack open to Steve Weiser. Cold was like, smell what The Rock is cooking. I mean, they all had their own catchphrase, and they had their own persona.
Newsflash.
Yeah.
Rock is going to be at WrestleMania competing.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. I'm starting to watch a little bit more wrestling since you and I have been talking about it.
Yeah,
he was in the back somewhere talking to someone about something. I didn't really catch it all because I was busy doing something else. But I definitely saw him, and he was there.
I have a busy weekend next weekend.
Oh, is there some specials coming?
WrestleMania is a two-day thing next weekend.
Oh, good. Well, I got a question for you, Rob. Is it going to be so much to where we can do a one-off?
I can have Saturday on Sunday.
Okay.
And Sunday the next day we podcast.
Probably Tuesday.
Evening.
Okay.
So we're podcasting that time, so I can't be watching. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, the thing I'm getting at is I want you to do it all in its entirety each day. So if the podcast runs a little late, it runs a little late. That's okay.
Do what?
Okay. We try not to go over an hour and 10 minutes, right? If there's so much that goes on, which I think there is, if the podcast runs over, it just runs over, right?
Okay, yeah.
That's why I was thinking do a one-off. But you know what? Who cares, man? Let's say it's an hour and a half. We'll do it just like that if we have to. It's fine. So, anyhow, cool. I can't wait for that. I want to see all the stuff that goes on.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a two-day deal.
That's cool.
I'll do the one day and the next day another day.
Sounds great, dude.
Because like I said, I can't be podcasting and watching that and reporting on at the same time.
No. I understand that.
I'm good. I ain't that good.
Wow. I was listening to some old shows and now, dude, you come a long way.
I'm trying.
Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing really good, brother. All right, man. We're getting on an hour and 20 minutes, so I think it's time for us to say later, bitches.
Again.
I know. But this has been a lot of fun, too, man. It's getting to where you and I can we get some really good banter going on, and we just can't stop. I love it. So, anyhow, good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.